listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. So if you tuned in recently, you know that United took a big chunk out of my mileage account without a whole lot in the way of explanation. Just as a sort of last minute thing before we started recording, I did hear from someone unsolicited from the corporate office at United. So the story appears like it could be having a happy ending. So more on that shortly. Once the dust settles, I'll certainly be writing it up for my blog, Pizza in Motion. And I'll be sure to cover it here for everyone. Up this week for segments, we've got Jen back from Deals We Like to talk about the new Frontier Friends Fly Free program. That's a tough one to say. So you get super cheap tickets on Frontier, and now you can, on certain days, have a buy one, get one free as well. Leslie stops by to talk about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and if you've been tuned in over the past few weeks, you saw our bonus episode with my buddy Summer from TPG Family, who was there on opening day. Leslie was there as well. Leslie's a Disneyland super ninja. That's her park, and so she's going to give us all the best tips and tricks for how to navigate the long lines at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. There aren't huge crowds, but there are long lines. If you're enjoying the show, I hope you'll take a moment to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening and leave us a rating and a comment. We love those comments, and we absolutely love the ratings and subscriptions. It helps us grow the show and bring it to more listeners each and every week. If you've got a special guest that you'd like us to have on, or if you've got a question that we can help answer, you can shoot me an email, ed@pizzainmotion.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. With all that, let's get into the show and Jen and Leslie talking about our tips and tricks this week in the world of travel. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we're talking about Frontier again because they've been in the news quite a bit over the past year for things that families should really love. And if we're talking about families and travel and deals, it's almost certainly Jen from Deals We Like to talk to us about this sort of stuff. Jen, what's your opinion on Friends Fly Free versus what we talked about just a few months ago, Kids Fly Free?
I think it's great. I mean, I love that they have both options. Unfortunately, you can't combine them. It's one or the other. So you can't have like your husband fly free and your friend and your child fly free all at the same time. But if it's just you and your significant other or friends flying somewhere where, you know, Frontier is a carrier, this is a great opportunity to essentially have a buy one, get one on top of already low fares that Frontier offers. And when they say free, they really truly mean free. Like there's no extra taxes and fees. You do have to pay for your seat assignment, your baggage, or any other extras, I guess, that Frontier charges, but it truly is free. So if you have flexible travel plans, this is great. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, and for folks who are just sort of learning about Frontier, it's important to know that if you do want to take advantage of Friends Fly Free or Kids Fly Free, you do need a membership to their Discount Den program. Now,
yes.
Discount Den does cover other things just besides Friends Fly Free and Kids Fly Free. It also offers discounts on a number of flights. And so if you're not getting one of these $20 fare sales that they have, Discount Den can save you anywhere from like $10 to $50 a ticket. That's been my experience in the past, at least. So it can pay for itself, absent Kids Fly Free and Friends Fly Free, which I'm having a lot of trouble saying. But with those programs added in, Discount Den becomes a really good value, especially for families, because you don't need to have one Discount Den membership for each member of your family. You just need one.
Right.
And then everybody can join in Kids and Friends Fly Free.
Right. Yeah. So it's just a $59.99 membership that will cover you for the, a rolling 12-month time period. And as you said, just one person on the reservation needs to have it. So this is just a one-time fee for your entire family or for you and your friend. Just make sure that the person that's primarily going to fly the most using whatever Frontier promo they have at the time is the one that purchases the discount 10 membership.
Yeah. And I poked around a little bit on this. So there's a couple of things. I mean, the first thing is that when they came out with Kids Fly Free, one of the, I guess you'd say, downsides to it, and I'm not quite there yet. I know you're a ways away from it, but Kids Fly Free only covers kids that are 14 years of age and younger. And,
right.
You know, I intend to travel with my kids when they're over that age, and we're getting kind of close on that. So Friends Fly Free does open up this element of being able to fly with kids that are a little bit older, because then they can be any age. But it also is restricted to, certain days, if you will.
Right.
And that's the same way that Kids Fly Free worked as well. The benefit that I saw in Kids Fly Free, and I'll stop myself because I'm not 100% sure I'm right on this for Friends Fly Free, but you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is that these are dates that are offered, but it's on that date, it's any flight in the system you can find seats.
Right. Where the Friends Fly Free is just particular routes. So there's many routes that are excluded from that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to look through that list and cull those different offers where in Kids Fly Free, it's pretty much anywhere in the system. Because I think when I looked at Friends Fly Free, the route that I wanted wasn't covered for the time period that we were traveling, which was sort of a bummer to me because we haven't been able to make the Kids Fly Free dates work yet either.
Right. Yeah. The one benefit that the Friends Fly Free has is that for some of the time period, not the entire summer, but some of the summer over the next few weeks, is that there's more dates eligible that you can fly. So it's not limited to just like Tuesday and Wednesday travel, which is primarily the Kids Fly Free promo dates. The Friends Fly Free has a few more options, but then once you get into the peak summer, it is down to just that Tuesday and Wednesday travel. Unfortunately, though, right now you can only use the Friends Fly Free promo code through the end of August, where Kids Fly Free is eligible until their booking window ends in November. So there are a few differences. I would love to see them kind of streamline them a little bit more so it's not so confusing. But since the Friends Fly Free is so new, hopefully, it's a work in progress and they'll figure it out and it'll be an ongoing promotion as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're trying to figure out how much demand that they have. And I think, one of the things that family travelers will try to figure out is, are they better off in the Kids Fly Free or Friends Fly Free world? Or are they better off with the Southwest Companion Pass?
Right.
And you wrote about that recently, which we'll definitely link to in the show notes. It's one of those, the Southwest Companion Pass is obviously a lot harder to achieve. But much easier to use in that anytime you've got that extra seat on a plane, you're cool. Whereas the Frontier options, as you said, you've got to follow the dates and make sure that there's availability and there's a few more restrictions there to keep you from using it.
Right. Although all you have to do is purchase the membership and it's easy to, use the promotion. The other thing is Frontier, I know, flies to certain international routes, like within the Caribbean. That is absolutely excluded from the promotion. So if you're hoping to get to, Cancun, I believe that's a route, that will not apply.
Frontier changes their route so frequently. It could have been a route today and might not be a route tomorrow. So
yeah.
you never know.
I know. So there is, pros and cons to the Southwest Companion Pass, Frontier Friends Fly Free promotion. It is a tongue twister. Pros and cons, it might ultimately depend on where you're coming from. If you live in Baltimore or, another Southwest hub, that might be your go-to promotion. If you live in Denver, which is a big Frontier hub, that might be your promotion. So really depends. There's pros and cons to both. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it'll only help you travel for less. So everything that helps save money with travel is a great promotion in my mind.
For sure. And I think that the moral of the story here is with the Frontier program is that you don't necessarily have to buy the Discount Den membership until you're ready to fly. It's one of those things that you can buy and they activate instantly. So
yes,
it's something to keep in mind. You want to sign up for Frontier's newsletters, make sure you're getting emails when they have fare sales. And then when something pops up, take a look and see if the Discount Den membership can save you enough money to make it worth your while. And if you're traveling with a family, almost certainly, as you multiply those savings across three or four tickets, you're going to save enough money to make it worth your while.
Absolutely.
All right, Jen, thanks a bunch for being on. I can't wait for one of us to actually get to try out Friends Fly Free. Gosh, that's so much harder to say than it should be.
I know.
when you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can track you down.
Sure. You all can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com, via social media. Anything at dealswelike will bring you to me, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then always feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. But my email is dealswelike@gmail.com.
And I'll say it once really slowly to make sure I get it right. Friends fly free. Safe travels, Jen.
Way to go.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about, right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and you guys know that I'm a Disney nerd, and the biggest thing to come down the pike in the world of Disney recently is Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And while I am not a huge fan, it's why I sat down with my buddy Summer recently to talk about her first impressions of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And now we're sitting down with Leslie from Trips with Tykes, who's already published her best tips and tricks for how to handle Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And she's already been in the land, I think, multiple times at this point. Right, Leslie?
Yes. I got to go to the media event the day before it opened to the public.
Yep.
And then I had two reservation periods on opening day.
Yeah. So was one of them nighttime, if I remember correctly?
Yes. One of them was nighttime, the 8 p.m. to midnight slot.
All right. So she's got lots of experience inside Galaxy's Edge, probably more so than most people out there. And we've got a couple of great posts that we're going to link to in the show notes. But she was nice enough to steal 10 minutes of her day to come hang out with me and talk about what she saw and some things that can help you guys get through Galaxy's Edge, hopefully with a little less stress.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. So where you want to get started?
Gosh, where to get started? Well, I think the first thing is the reservation period that Disneyland is having now between May 31st and June 23rd, everything's going to be different during that reservation period. They have these four-hour windows that they're giving guests. And so a lot of the tips and tricks that I tested out were relevant to those four-hour windows. And then the game changes again on June 24th. When the land is a little bit more of a free-for-all, but not entirely a free-for-all because they'll cap capacity and then create a virtual queue to let additional groups of people in as some groups of people leave. So this is like the first time. I mean, usually like when I go to Disneyland or Disney World even, I'm testing out tricks and those tricks are good for years to come.
Yeah.
And no, Disney is changing everything so rapidly and there's going to be a second ride. So once that opens, the game changes again. So it's overwhelming as, you know, a reporter on this and at trying to cover this, but I'm doing my best.
Do you anticipate that you'll be back soon after June 24th, or do you think you'll wait for the second ride to open at this point?
I think I'll wait for the second ride to open at this point. I've been to Disney parks and destinations a lot. I kind of am in need of a Disney break. But yeah, probably I'll be back sometime in the fall. If the other ride opens when coinciding with the new Halloween party that they're moving to Disney California Adventure, then I will definitely go for both of those. But that is not entirely clear that will be the case.
Yeah. All right. So for somebody who's heading into the land for the first time, where should they head first in their 4-hour window?
Well, some of that depends whether or not you're the first group of the day. And I know Summer mentioned this in her first impressions. If you're the first group, you have an advantage.
Yeah.
Because there's no one in the land. So you should go to whatever matters to you most. And lately, Disney just implemented a change 2 days in after opening to Oga's Cantina, which is probably the biggest choke point of the land, where they now will have a little bit of a virtual queue. You check in, you get put on the list, much like at a restaurant, and you get a text message when your time is available.
Oh, that's much better. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Much better. And I did not experience that personally. But if Oga's Cantina is on your list, you want to get probably there first just to get in that virtual queue for Oga's, because the spaces are all gone. I've been hearing even like 30 minutes into it being open for the day.
And as far as you're aware, that you can only get yourself on the list at Oga's Cantina. It's not like you can do it inside the app.
Right. No, this is not app based. This is based at the desk where a human being is putting you on a queue, you know, in the queue, just like at a restaurant.
Yep. Okay. So once you're on the Oga's Cantina list, did you see the same thing in your windows that Summer saw in terms of the ride line not really being a major factor?
I didn't as much as she did, because she had the 8 a.m. to noon window. I had an 11 to 3 and then the 8 to midnight window. So by the time I entered the land at 11 a.m., Summer's group was still there. And they were there for another hour, and it was this big sort of overlapping, you know, you had double the guests in the land that she experienced when she went in. So the line for Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run was really bad the first 2 hours of my window. It did start to let up, and I eventually got in it just seconds before the overlapping group on the back end of my reservation came into the land, and then it surged again. So that's really, I sort of found the sweet spot with the line, especially if you're in the middle of the day, to be after the 2 hour mark, but before the 3 hour mark, because then you have the other group to contend with.
And in your nighttime window, did things slow down near the end?
Yes, definitely. Things, you know, the kids just can't stay till midnight. So if, you know, there were some families that had that window, people were starting to give up and go home. And in fact, I didn't quite stay till midnight myself. I had, so bad. Cruising on like maybe a grand total of 10 hours of sleep over 3 days. And I just was done. So yeah, but it definitely lightened up. That was the time to get to ride. And I was, of course, solo on my trip, which is not how I usually do Disney. So I was able to sneak in a single rider line or two. But that's, you don't want to do that the first time that you ride the attraction, because you miss all of the interactive queue. You miss the animatronic Hondo Inaka, who is amazing, one of Disney's best. You want to see that the first time you experience the ride. You won't get that in single rider.
I imagine that's one of the things. We still have not been through the Pandora queue, and I've heard that it's great. So I would imagine that the queue for the Star Wars rides, both of them, are going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I haven't been through the Pandora regular queue either. Although, but when you go through FastPass, at least you do get some of it, and you do get Hondo Inaka in FastPass when they do open the FastPass line for this attraction.
Oh, okay.
So
that's good.
That's at least, you know, some. But single rider, you get nothing.
Yeah, and then in your post, you also mentioned that especially for folks who are diehard Star Wars folks, that even if you're only going to the land, that Max Pass, at least for one person, can be a good thing.
Yes. The reason you want Max Pass, of course, is because it includes PhotoPass. And there are a lot of PhotoPass photographers. There are great spots to get, you know, these panoramic shots of you in front of the Millennium Falcon. And, you know, they've done a really good job of sort of setting up the crowd boundaries, I guess, so that you have like nobody behind you. It's really well done. So you're going to want the PhotoPass photos. So you need Max Pass. And then, of course, if you have an early reservation, you're going to want to go to the rest of the park for the rest of the day and use obviously that expensive ticket that you've bought. And you can be booking Max Passes, fast passes through Max Pass while you're in Galaxy's Edge for everything else in Disneyland and Disney California Adventure.
Yeah. All right. So what other tips can we share with folks when they journey to Batuu?
Well, the two other major expensive experiences are the build your own lightsaber and the build your own droid. I did go through the droid experience with some friends and did not see the lightsaber experience. The lightsaber experience is like so exclusive. There's no way you're getting a sneak peek unless you're paying the $200 entry fee to enter. I mean, there's no way. And I tried. I tried really hard. But the lightsaber experience is much more exclusive and thus the line is much longer. That's another one of those things. If that's your priority,
yeah,
you want to get there very first thing. And Disney's actually done like three different things in the couple of days the land has been open. So I can't tell you by the time this airs what exactly the system's going to be on the ground. I've been watching Twitter, just people who are there, you know, regularly who are reporting on this. And that's what I think folks are going to have to do these first couple of weeks. And like, this is a rapidly evolving process. So that's the question mark for me. The droid experience did have some times where it was very popular, but it also definitely fell off at certain times, like in the nighttime window, the 8 p.m. to midnight window, there was no line because that was not a window that families picked. And this is probably the more family friendly, kid friendly of those two experiences, just given the price point.
Yeah, and it's the one that my son wants to do the most. So I'm debating whether, because we don't have our window yet, if we are going to come visit. And so we're like, all right, do I go with the late window to make sure I get through Droid? Do I go through the early window so that we're first ones in? So we've got all sorts of strategy things coming up. But the Droid thing is very high on his list.
Well, just a tip, Ed, I know you're staying at an on-property hotel. Each of the on-property hotels has a Star Wars Galaxy's Edge desk where if you're not happy with your reservation time that you get automatically, you can go to that desk. And if there's availability, they can switch you to another reservation time. So I've heard a lot of people doing that. And so you can kind of wait and watch the news and see what windows seem to have the better chance and pick one of those windows potentially.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great tip. And I think for folks who, you know, aren't sure whether they should go or not before the gates open up on the 24th, I think it's interesting that the most days, not all of the Disneyland hotels are sold out. There are only three of them, and they're not cheap, but they are essentially a guarantee in right now. And I think, you know, I was trying to judge from a capacity standpoint, you know, what to expect, and the fact that they're not sold out sort of makes me feel like things could be a bit busier, you know, as we get closer to the end of June, but it doesn't feel like that's going to be the case.
You know, I read something today actually from Disney Tourist Blog. Tom Bricker is a great Disney blogger.
Yes.
He mentioned he had heard probably through very reliable sources that this is very much a soft opening and that Disney's actually going to be increasing capacity, more reservation times the later we get into June. I presume this is just sort of, you know, testing out the limits of the land so that when they do open on June 24th, they can set a capacity accordingly. So it may get busier the later we get into June. And then we just don't know what that capacity is going to be come June 24th. And that may indeed vary. They may try something out and it fail and then reel it back or, you know, increase it.
Yeah. I'm hoping I don't show up on a day where they fail and have to reel it back.
That's fair. I mean, but you know, all said, I was on a day where Oga's Cantina was a fail in terms of the queue. I still managed to muscle my way in and I still had a grand time. And wow, what an intergalactic tiki bar that was. Totally worth
it. I don't think that anybody who knows Leslie would not be shocked in the least that you found a way to get into Oga's Cantina and make sure you experienced it. I had no doubt whatsoever.
I was not leaving without experiencing that. I mean, you know, they have like a tiki mug with Ewoks and a Death Star on it. I mean, do I need that? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. The only time I'd even have a doubt would be if it was like, there's one spot left and it's you and it's Summer and it's to the death. And at that point, I think I just want to turn around and leave because you're both so determined. I don't know which one of you would get the Star Wars spot. It wouldn't be me in that fight.
Yeah, we moms are tough. Yeah, we know how to get what we want.
All right. Well, any last closing thoughts for folks? We're obviously going to direct people to your posts, which I think are just great resources for folks that are going early. And obviously, stay tuned to all of Leslie's writing and then social media channels, because I know she'll be covering this stuff as they change. But any last minute thoughts for listeners?
Sure. I didn't take my kids. I was there as media on a working trip, but I did think very deep thoughts about what the land was going to be like for kids, especially younger kids, since I still have, a preschooler myself. And Disney's not getting it quite right yet when it comes to preschoolers. Like, there are 3 kids meals at Docking Bay 7, the restaurant, and only one of them would my kids possibly eat. It's too adventurous. So if you're going in with your own kids, sort of their culinary restrictions, take a look at the menu. You may need to bring snacks into the land because they're not snack stands. They're not, fruit or little, chips that like there is in the rest of Disneyland. You are on the planet of Batu. So prepare for that. And then of course, with the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run attraction having a height requirement of 38 inches, you may not be taking your kid on that. And it's important to know that the way the ride's set up, that you won't be sitting next to your child. These are standalone seats. So if you have a child who you think might get frightened on a thrill ride, this might not be something that you should do yet. I mean, obviously your kids are older, Ed, but I do want to get that word out for folks who do have younger kids. And I think Disney will, experiment and get this a little bit more right, but it's not quite there yet. So, be advised and adjust accordingly.
Yeah. And not that I don't love Leslie having the last word, but I think to follow up on what you said about food and things like that, it is my understanding, at least today, that once you're in the land for your time zone chunk, you're in and you're not allowed to leave and come back.
That is right. So yes, yeah. If your kid is hungry, they will be hungry for your 4-hour window.
Yeah. So for families, be prepared when you go in for that 4 hours. What you see is what you get. So as Leslie said, it'd be a great idea to bring in some snacks. And I think I'll be stopping somewhere to pick up a couple of Uncrustables and a few pieces of fruit.
Sounds like a plan. And I'm excited to hear your report from a few days later than mine.
All right. Well, we'll have links to the show notes for Leslie's post, but tell folks where they can find your blog and all of your social media stuff.
Yes, I am at Trips with Tykes on all social media, tripswithtykes.com. I also co-host the Disney Deciphered podcast with Joe Chung of As the Joe Flies. And we just released early our Star Wars Galaxy's Edge episode. So it is out for folks who just can't get enough of Batuu.
Yes, and we will have a link to that episode in the show notes as well, so you can hear even more about the fictional plan of Batuu. Well, I know Summer is on her way back from that land far, far away, and I would imagine that you're probably almost back from your trip, so hopefully when you're back, we'll have you back on again to talk other stuff.
Sounds like a plan, Ed.
Safe travels. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final 2 pennies. And since it's 2 pennies, I've got 2 tips for you guys to make sure you're conquering the world of travel. So my buddy John, who's been a co-host a couple of times on the Now Boarding podcast and has appeared here a few times from the blog No Mas Coach, had a little bit of a run-in recently with a car rental company. And it was a good reminder that I wanted to make sure I shared with you guys that if you're renting a car, especially if you're not renting from, say, one of the top tier providers, the guys that are a little further down the food chain in terms of pricing are usually pretty stringent dents and dings and stuff like that in your rental cars. And so, John sort of got caught a little bit in this, and it was a good reminder that when you're picking up a rental car, take just a couple of minutes and snap a picture of the 4 sides of the car. That way, you've got sort of a record of yourself. Keep it on your smartphone. If you get back to the lot and the car rental company says that you caused damage to the car, you've got pictures of what it looked like when you drove off the lot. Now, obviously, if you caused the damage yourself after you rolled it off the lot, you're out of luck. But if that damage was there before you picked it up and you've got a picture with a date stamp that proves it, you're likely going to be in pretty good shape when the car rental company tries to shake you down for the money to repair somebody else's damage. The other thing is there's two promos going on right now for shopping portals. Both United and American have shopping portal bonuses. If you spend a certain amount of money, you get bonus points, in this case 500 points or 1,000 points. And while 500 or 1,000 points isn't necessarily a lot of points, it's a bonus for something you were already going to spend. If it's a vendor that's already on the shopping portals, it takes you, 30 seconds to click through and make sure you earn those points. And in the case of these bonus promos, not only do you get the normal points you get, whether it's, 2 miles per dollar, 2 points per dollar, 5 points per dollar, whatever they're offering. But if you spend a certain amount, again, that you're probably already going to spend, you might pick up an extra 500 or 1,000 points. And all those small amounts of points definitely add up, especially for folks who don't travel for a living like me and are trying to save up either for themselves or for an entire family. We got to take every little point we can find whenever we can, especially on the things that we're already spending money on. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. Big thanks to both Jen and Leslie for stopping by to help make it a great episode. Thanks to producer Mike for making our audio sound great each and every week. We've got a whole bunch of segments still to come as we get into the summer travel season. We got Gary stopping by to talk about the new Hyatt American Airlines partnership. Gil stops by to talk with us about Australia. We've got first-timer on the show, Darren Murph, talking about one of his favorite destinations, Key West, Florida. Lots and lots of stuff to come. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. If you listened this far, I'm hoping that means you liked it, and I hope you'll take a second to rate us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. I would really appreciate it. That's a full wrap this week. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.